Hey, Hare Krishna everyone. So before we begin, look at the volume. Okay. Before we begin, we'd like to recite invocation prayers. So if you'd like to join along, you're more than welcome. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salapaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tada Mifyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kujantam Rama Rameti Madhuram Madhurakshram Arukhya Kavita Shakham Vande Valmiki Kokilam Manojavam Maruta Tulya Vegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayutha Mukhyam Shri Ramadutam Shirasa Namami Apadam Apahartaram Dataram Sarvasampadam Loka Bhiramam Shri Ramam Bhuyo Bhuyo Namamyaham. So I'm very honored that His Holiness Bir Krishna Maharaj is here to, send His blessings and grace to not just me but for all of us. And many of my dear friends, senior God brothers and sisters are here, so I beg for your blessings and well wishes. I was asked to make this short presentation on empathic communication in Ramayana. For a couple of weeks, I just didn't know what to say. And then after that, I didn't know where to stop. But I was thinking that Bhagavatam, right in the beginning, it says it's for the great rasikas, those who are free of envy, etc. My realization is Ramayana is for married people. And you will see why if you already don't know. One instance said, the Ramayana shows us that even if you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you're married, it's very difficult. Something like that. So this is from one married person to other married. So that's the empathy. So to, I guess, begin where we should take inspiration from for empathic communication, we'll set the scene. And the scene is in Ayodhya Kanda, where that previous day Dasharatha Maharaj has announced to the entire Ayodhya kingdom that Lord Ramachandra will be he is the prince regent, he will be the king next day. the whole country is celebrating. And their joy has no bounds, because their very favorite Lord Ram will be the king. And that evening, as we know, Kaikeyi, by the sweet words of Manthara, has sort of turned the situation and has made two demands. Because Dasarath had promised her that you can ask me to fulfill these two benedictions anytime, anywhere, in any condition. So she asked these two requests, or demands, if you will. One, that Ram should go to the forest for 14 years. And second, my son Bharata should be there. So there's a whole dialogue that we don't have time for that ensues between the wife and husband. And I don't need to repeat, because every wife and husband have that dialogue, but it's just, what's the point, right? So anyway, Lord Ram is invited by Dasarath to give him the bad news. So earlier in the day, when Sumantra, his minister, brings Lord Ramachandra to give the news that he will be the king tomorrow, it is described that Lord Ramachandra was walking into the palace with a very, very happy countenance and a sweet smile on his face. And then he returns to prepare for the next day's ceremony. And then when Dasharath invites him back late in the evening, Lord Ram goes back in saying he's anticipating, what else would my father like me to do? With that anticipation and smile on his face, he walks in. And he said when he hears this news that he has to go to the forest and Bharata will be the king, it's described that he walked out with the same countenance and the same sweet smile on his face. And his eyelid did not twitch a little bit. His eyes, his pupils did not dilate to take in the shock of how Dasharath can change his word just like that. It actually did not matter to him at all. He was very happy and he walked out. And he shares the news with his mother Kausalya. He shares the news with his brother Lakshmana. And of course with Sita Devi. So the setting. However, different persons who are very close to Lord Ramachandra take the news in a very different way. And the person who takes it, I guess, the worst in one sense, is Lakshmana. So Valmiki describes that Lakshmana was so angry that he was hissing like a snake. And he had drawn his sword and said, "This Dasharath," whom he never addressed like that, "this Dasharath, because of his weakness for a woman, has turned and changed the fate of entire Ayodhya, that I am willing to imprison him. And if he interferes, then I will kill him. Because how dare he not crown you the king?" So it's at this point, when that dialogue between Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana is going on, and Lakshmana is very, very angry and would not listen to any argument, Lord Ramachandra quotes this verse. So if you like, you can repeat or read it. It says, "Nigruhya rosham shokam cha." Oh, you can repeat. "Nigruhya rosham shokam cha. Dhairyam ashritya kevalam, atman nirasyam enam, grihitva harsham uttamam." This is the instruction Lord Ramachandra gives. This is in Ayodhya Kanda chapter 22, verse number 3. So to understand the context of this verse, there is a very important word that appears in the Ramayana. It's called Yadruchaya. Now those of us who are followers of Srila Prabhupada's teachings This word we hear in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of how bhakti begins. The word generally we understand it as yadrucheya, means somehow or the other. Those who comment on the Valmiki Ramayana, they explain that the word yadrucheya actually is made of two words, yat and ichchaya, by whose desire. By whose desire, not in a question, but by whose desire, means by Krishna or Lord Ramachandra's desire. In common language we say providence. And this word, yadrucheya, appears only 6 times in the Ramayana. And all those 6 times is when there are very significant changes or reverses in the storyline of the Ramayana. Jai Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ki Jai. There are 6 instances when you're expecting the storyline to go in one direction and it changes completely. So the word yadrucheya for us as practicing devotees should mean, as we commonly say, the phrase by Krishna's arrangement. So that's important for us to know and perhaps use in our life. So with that in mind, Lord Ramachandra is basically asking Lakshmana to let go of 3 things and to hold on to 3 things. And the word letting go is here. Nigruhya. Grahana means to hold. Or nigruhya means to let go. And then the word grihitva means to hold on to. Okay, so there are 3 things. Now, I try to use some language that is in line with what Maharaj is walking us through. So, first of all, the word is here, rosham. So, what does the word rosham mean? So, what does krodha mean? So, what's the difference? Is there a difference? Spelling is different, yes. Rosham more intense. Rosham is sensitivity. Pride, no. Abraham. Short-term ferocious. My appreciation of the word rosham is when you are in a situation and something happens that you don't like, that initial burst of anger that comes is rosham. Krodha is something that you have sustained over time. That immediate impulse is called rosham. It just springs out. So he says, nigruhya rosham. And the next word we all know, shokam cha. Shokam is lamentation. Okay. And then there is a third one. What is the third word that one should let go? Very good. It's in the third line. Avamanam. Manam, we know, respect. Avamanam, disrespect or insult. So primarily, these 3 things block our ability to be empathic, or to say it the other way, these 3 fuel apathy in us. A sense of something that I'm entitled to, or I deserve, that I am qualified for, doesn't come to me. That's one. Rosham. Shokam is lamented. Another way to look at it is these 3 generally also sort of aligned with the 3 phases of time. Shoka has to do with past, right? Where Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, na shochati na kankshati. So shoka is all the things about the past that somehow awaken because something has happened right now. I've said this many times, so I'll use it again. In married life, I have said that great fights start up because the husband said, there is not enough salt in the dal today. You heard me say this? How many of you have heard? Because even if there is one innocent soul, I need to save them. So here's what happens. One day in the evening, we'll make it universal. It can be that the wife is back from work. That's fine. The husband has cooked, right? Or the wife has cooked and the husband has come back. And both have had a very intense day. And they're having dinner. And the husband says, there is not enough salt in the dal. And the wife says, what does the wife say? You're not wives, I'm looking at that side. So what if it is less one day? Can you not just manage it? So he says, I know it's just not about one day, but whenever you make this dal, the salt is always less. And then she says, but why are you complaining? I do so much, you never appreciate that. Only when there is salt that is not enough, that's when you notice. And the husband says, why are you so defensive? I'm not saying anything about you. I'm just saying there's not enough salt. But why can't you cook one thing properly? I come back tired and I don't have it. And then the wife says something like, even in our marriage, it was 20 years ago, your father did not appreciate what my father did. The husband says, don't talk about my father. Because if I start telling about all the things your father did not do. So little bit of salt can open up things that I've been sitting and lamenting for years in the background. Okay, so that's shokam. Then avamanam, although it is insult at this point, it has to do something for future. It gives a sense of, how will my life be or not be because I am insulted right now? That is why Kshatriyas never like to be insulted. Because it sort of casts a spell over their entire future. So these three things, they block empathy or they make us apathetic. So then Lord Ramachandra asks Lakshmana to hold on to three things. So we'll go back to that. Dhairyam ashritya kevalam. So whenever you hear the word kevalam, that's an indicator that there is exclusivity. There are no choices. He's being very strong to hold on to. First is dhairyam. Since we have studied Prabhupada's books, we know what dhairyam means. Dhairyam means sobriety. Think about it with a cool head or a calm mind. And for us to be able to do so, thank you. That's this torture is being definitely hit by that one. Satyasara Prabhu. It's a little too noisy for me. Yeah. Is that okay? Maharaj, what's the right way to do it? What are their needs for some fresh air? Should we keep it on?
No, because they can't hear if that thing goes on.
That's a blessing, no? So dhairyam. But before dhairyam, very important thing is the sense of providential intervention, or the big picture, if you will. Very commonly, we tend to forget the big picture. As what's the saying? You're so much in the weeds that you can't see you're so much in the trees that you can't see the forest. We can't see the big picture because whatever has happened, suddenly gets magnified to such dimensions and proportions that the bigger context of life that I have a chance to exercise certain devotional teachings that I have learned, I have a chance here to transcend something that's lower in me, all that somehow vanishes. So it's important, and that's what Lord Ramachandra is asking Lakshmana to do. Think of the big picture, providence. The issue that I'm going to digress a little bit. Between Lord Ram and Lakshman, there are about 8 pages of argument where Lakshmana on this side says, how can you be so passive and call everything providence and not take any action? And Lord Ramachandra on this side says, accepting what providence has brought about is not passivity. One should think about, we use the word strategy, one should think about how to traverse life when providence brings in front of you things that you had not expected. Yadrichaya is understood as something that comes to you when you were not expecting it at all. It's a surprise that Krishna brings to us. For example, when Haridas Thakur was chanting in his bhajan kutir, a prostitute showed up. So that is yadrichaya. But it doesn't mean that Haridas Thakur said, oh, Krishna sent a prostitute today. Thank you. Mahaprasad, I don't know how it is. It's not like that. It is when such situations arise, a devotee is challenged to find out how best can I please Krishna? How best can I maintain or enhance or strengthen my connection with Krishna? So that's sort of the big picture always. And in that, there is the sense of sobriety to think carefully, to feel some strength and connection with the disciplic succession. And the final one, which is for me one of the, I guess the most inspiring one, is that word, harsham uttamam. So harsham uttamam means unexcelled happiness. Happiness or ecstasy of the greatest kind. So what is the ecstasy of the greatest kind in a difficulty? Lord Rama says that that is the privilege of being of service. Somehow or the other, it is incumbent upon us that in whatever circumstances we are put, we need to exercise this privilege that we have to serve Krishna to his pleasure. It means two different things. One is for the pleasure of Krishna, and the byproduct of that is for our own happiness. That in any circumstance, even if it is negative, unfavorable, demanding, insulting, whatever, how best do we know that we can serve Krishna? So Lord Ram is telling Lakshman, don't think that we have lost the kingdom. You should know that we have been invited to serve our father's order. And that is the greatest blessing one can have. Okay? So one of the things I was reading that Maharaj in his book and in the handouts was, there are 4 D's that block compassion. Do you remember what they are? The first one? Diagnosis. So Lakshmana was diagnosing because of weakness for a woman, because he has no spine. He cannot stand up to say no. Henpecked. Those are the words he uses. Second, D is denial of responsibility. Now that's a little difficult to exactly pin down, but the denial of responsibility, the way Lord Ramachandra treats is that far beyond anything, the responsibility is to carry out the order of the superior. And we cannot deny that opportunity. Third one, demand. Deserve. Demand and, okay, demand and deserve. Okay. Demanding. Lakshmana was demanding. You should be the king. You're rightfully qualified. In fact, it was even announced. And many people have this question. And one of the answers is, what Dasarath Maharaj announced is a decision that is promise that was given, if broken, is irreversible. And Lord Ramachandra wants to preserve his father's integrity and prestige as a person who's always truthful, because that's the Ikshvaku line. You cannot go back on your word. Decisions you can change, but promises you cannot break. So any questions, thoughts, comments? And I want to share a few other instances where, from what we heard Friday night, Maharaj speaking about Prabhupada's compassion, I wanted to sort of share Lord Ramachandra's compassion to other living beings. Any thoughts before we get there?
Prabhuji, I could not actually understood dhairyam in the context, and dhairyam and harsham uttamam with the positive context, like
how. So dhairyam means soberly thinking. There is something called reacting and responding. Responding means one thinks about what is the best way I can respond, or what is the best way I can serve Krishna in this situation. So Prabhupada writes in the, or translates the 13th verse, the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right? Sober persons are not disturbed by this change. Where Krishna says, right? Dhira statrana muhyate. So one who is sober is not bewildered. These three are the bewilderments. And harsha means, in that difficult situation, if I know how I can serve Krishna, then even if the difficulty is there, there is a joy of doing whatever one needs to do.
Thank you.
Yes, Rajabhakti Mataji.
When we look at this pastime of Ramayana, where Lord Rama was exiled, it was all done by Kaikeyi asking for those two boons. In this whole, after, and as you read Ramayana, we put Kaikeyi into a box, have a label for her that she was not a good person, she was a villain in the whole thing happened because of her. But, and this kind of situations happen in all our lives also, if you look at Ramayana. How can you put Kaikeyi in where we can create empathy for her, rather than having apathy for her?
So when everyone is angry with Kaikeyi, Lord Ramachandra goes to Kaikeyi, and falls at her feet and tells her, today you have shown me that you actually have more love for me than your own son Bharata. So everyone around is a little perplexed. So Lord Ramachandra explains that in her conditions to Dasarath, she said that he should go to the forest and the only thing he should preserve is his own body and nothing else. So he says, you are so kind upon me that you have given me a very easy task of just taking care of myself, but you have taken the entire burden of Ayodhya and put on your son's shoulder. So you are actually more kind to me than you are to your own son. That is the way he looks at it. And secondly, he knows, of course, when you look at him as the personality of Godhead is different, and in Valmiki Ramayana, he's not treated like one, because right in the beginning he says, Atmanam Manushyam Manye, I consider myself a human being. So, from the point of view of an ideal human being, Lord Ram never blames the instrument that brings whatever that comes to his life. That is his way of treating every situation. Okay, one more question and we'll move whoever. Rasamrita Prabhu. Sorry, Amara Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So both promises and decisions are expressed in the form of words and commitments which are meant to be kept to
Correct.
Be trustworthy. So how do you distinguish between the two?
A king can change a decision. Anyone can change a decision. But a promise is something that's not to be changed. And he made a vow to her. To say to crown Lord Ram is not a vow. He never said, you know, I vow that you will be the king. He said, I decided you will be the king. Decisions can be turned. This is Lord Ram's argument, that decisions can change. Promises, no. Okay, quickly a few instances and we'll see if we have more time. Since we were hearing Titikshava, Karunika, Suhrida, Sarvadehinam, Ajata, Shatra, Shantaha, etc. So let's look at a few instances where Lord Ramachandra's compassion exceeds and goes far beyond one's ability to fathom. In this picture, it is Jatayu. So Jatayu is a vulture, generally considered like a third grade bird. It's in the bird that is influenced by the mode of ignorance because it has excellent eyesight and basically searches for dead bodies, right? But when Jatayu was very aged, Jatayu was 60,000 years old. He was a friend of Dasaratha's. And he did not worry about his own life. He put it on the line and his beak was cut off, his wings were chopped off, his claws or feet were cut off, and he had fallen on the ground, almost dead, but he was holding on breath, so he Ramachandra. And when Lord Ram meets Jatayu, he says, you are more dear to me than Sita Devi. Because at that point he has won Lord Ram's heart to such a degree. And Lord Ram performs the final rites for Jatayu. So nowhere in history has anyone heard a kshatriya of high order performing last rites for a bird. But Lord Ram did it because Jatayu represents Atmanivedana. And for what service he offered, Lord Ram was very moved. So that's sort of a vulture or a bird. Then the whole Aranyakanda is said to be a moksha kanda. Anyone who met Lord Ramachandra went back to Godhead. So when they enter the forest, one of the first persons they meet is a person called Sharabhanga. Sharabhanga was waiting. His devotional service had ripened to such a degree that he was waiting. Lord Indra comes and tells him, I'm here, come with me, I'll take you to the heavenly planets. He says, no, Lord Ramachandra is going to arrive anytime soon. Rather than go with you, I want to see him. So the first person that gets back to the spiritual world is Sharabhanga. So now this is a very advanced stage. One of the verses we heard was, Brahmani Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shvapakecha. I don't have time, but I'll say it quickly. In that verse, it's an interesting verse. Why Krishna uses these five entities. So first is Brahmana. So when you want to tell someone an entire range, then you speak about the end points. So on this side of the continuum is Brahmanas, the most evolved personalities. And on this side of the continuum are Shvapaka, dog eaters. So a Pandita is equal in vision to these two and anyone in between. And same with that, Brahmani, Gavi, Hastini and Shunicha. Cow, elephant and dog. Cows, of course, we know the value. Elephants are animals of labor and help, and dog generally considered moochie. So anyway, the entire range there. After Sutikshana, the next one is a demon by the name Viradha. Now if we had time, we could speak for about 45 minutes because Viradha is holding a spear with lions and elephants and deer all poked into his spear, and all these have meanings. But anyway, Viradha means that personality who is anti-devotional service or is unable to express bhakti or affection, Viradha, against devotion. Even that person was liberated. Next is Guha. Guha was a tribal, not an evolved person. In fact, there are some stories that in his childhood, Guha was such a child that if his mother did not listen to what he wanted, he would draw his sword and threaten to kill her. That is the kind of person who made such friendship with Lord Ramachandra. Because of Ramachandra's ability to reach out and connect with anyone and everyone. The next picture right in the middle is Sugriva. Sugriva is a monkey. Ramachandra made friendship with him. One of the things about monkey is that they tend to be selfish. And so even though he promised to help Lord Ramachandra, and Lord Ramachandra helped him, he forgot his promise. Lord Ram waited in a cave for the entire Chaturmasya to be over, hoping, you know, he will do what he needs to do. He needed a little sauce from Lakshmana before the thing. And the final one is Vibhishana. He's a Rakshasa. Okay? Born in the Rakshasa family. He was also given shelter. In fact, it is said that Lord Ram did not have three brothers. He had six brothers. Of course, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. But he considered Sugriva, Guha and Vibhishana as his own brothers. I hope you appreciate. Of course, I'm zooming through it. I hope you don't mind. Then the sage called Sutikshana. Sutikshana is an advanced yogi, and he also gets delivered by Lord Ramachandra's visit. Maharaj mentioned Kabandha. Kabandha. Bandha means bound up. Kabandha. Ka stands for the body, kaya. One who is bound up in his body to such a degree that he only thinks about one thing, grabbing and eating. That's it. That's the only activity. That's why he had long arms and a huge belly and a mouth in the bed. And that's it. And that was Kabandha. He was also relieved from his condition by Lord Ramachandra. Now one person that not important character. You want to guess? So woman. Sabari will come later, before that. Ahalya. The word hal means contamination. And Ahalya is one who doesn't have any contamination. But her story is that she was cursed. Now many people say she was cursed to be a stone. So that's not correct. Stone is visible. She was cursed to be unseen by anybody for a very, very long time. Can you imagine for a moment? One of the issues we've been dealing with is not being seen by our parents, not being acknowledged. She was cursed to be not seen at all by anyone. Imagine in a room, people are walking by, it's your house, they don't see you at all. How would you feel? She was in that condition. And as soon as Lord Ramachandra stepped into that ashram, she became visible again. That is his purifying her. Finally, Shabari. Shabari, the word means what? Who was Lord Jagannath's main, not Jagannath, Neela Madhava. Lord Neela Madhava's main caretakers. The Shabaras. What do shagaras do? They are called pig handlers. They take care of, so they are all from Iowa. But anyway, so they are pig handlers. Shabari is in that, I guess, lineage. However, when she met Lord Ramachandra, she also went back. Although there is a little distinction in her liberation and everyone else's, that's for another time. But she was also liberated. So we can see the entire range of people, sages, animals, birds, rakshasas, were all touched by Lord Ramachandra's grace and compassion. And each person that he met, he said some things that were very beneficial to them and I guess ultimately liberated them. That's it. So quick review. That's all I can do in 45 minutes. Quick review. What are the three things to let go of? Okay, let's do it one by one. The first one. Roshan. The sense of anger. Okay. Shokam. Lamentation. And that is avamanam. The sense of being insulted by somebody's words or behaviors or okay, whatever. And the three things to hold on to. First thing. Big picture. Considering how is Krishna orchestrating this for me? What is the lesson for me? How best can I serve Krishna in this? That's the providential view of second. Dhairyam. So for that, one has to consider things so with sobriety. And a third? Harsha. I want the joy of serving. And here's a great opportunity for me to serve. Okay? Alright, we're done. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. See?